Well, as I tried to get ahead of things before, I'll come back down to reality maybe. It was kind of funny this week. Our scripture reading kind of ties in with some Amish people I met this week and how they would babble on with another language. But here's the scripture, Genesis 11:1-9. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Sarene and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used the bricks instead of stones and tar for the mortar. They said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches into the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they planned to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it's called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them all over the face of the earth.
You know, our sermon lesson today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21 today. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they had too much wine. And then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servant, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." here into the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Will you bow your heads now and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock, my redeemer, I praise you once again to have the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scripture, and now to share my testimony. Amen. We have a special birthday today. Does anybody know whose birthday it is? The church. Absolutely. Today, Pentecost Sunday, is what we call the birthday of the church. Now, sometimes it's easy to think maybe it was Easter or maybe it is Christmas, but this is the one Sunday out of the year called Pentecost, where we celebrate the church being born. Today, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that came upon the disciples. And if you remember last week's scripture reading, Jesus had ascended into heaven. And as he ascended, he told his disciples and his followers to go back to Jerusalem and wait. Wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Wait for this power that would happen. And so they did. And in today's scripture reading from Acts, we're told what happened on that day at Pentecost in that room. We're told about the Holy Spirit falling afresh on them, that there was a wind like a violent storm, and then we're told that the doors had flung open, and then above the apostles' heads there were what seemed like tongues of fire. And then we're told that the apostles started to speak in different languages, and so people could finally understand them from different nations and ages. You see, something strange happened on that Pentecost day, but something so profound for us, because the Holy Spirit took over the confusion that was on the earth. Now, one of the reasons why I chose the Genesis scripture was because back in those days, people were thinking more of themselves, wanting to build themselves a kingdom, wanting to build themselves a tower that would go up into the heavens that would be a monument to themselves. And we're told that God got their language and jumbled it up so that they couldn't communicate together, so they couldn't build a tower together because one person didn't know what the other person was saying. And here in the power of Pentecost today, we're told that the Holy Spirit comes on and people begin to speak in their native tongues. And they are understood. And it made possible for those disciples to communicate with every person, every race, and every creed. And this was such a profound, profound changing in the history of God and what he's done with his people. You see, when the Holy Spirit is manifested, the Holy Spirit brings order to confusion and unity out of diversity. And so you see, today is a day for us to, number one, stand back and talk about what our focus is, not only as a church, but as individuals as we gather in this church today. Today is not being all about being single, but it's about being one congregation who believes in Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. We have many roles, but we have one mission. Now, it's interesting because, like I said, the focus today is about equality and service. And as I think about our church here at Ross, I think about the many people who have been gifted by the Holy Spirit. And those many people are all of you. All of you. And all who are worshiping here today, if you're following Jesus Christ in obedience to his call, God has a plan for you and he has a mission for you. And you see, that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. He let that be known to his disciples that each and every one of them could now go out and they were equipped to build the church not only within that room that they were in, but all of those areas that I read, Pamphylia, Pamphylia, all those, that's what you get for going to seminary. You learn how to say all those words. Didn't I do a good job with that? Yeah, believe me, I had to practice and practice and practice. But all those areas, when you think about it, they were now able to communicate with all these different people. And the focus of serving God and being one in His presence was there. You know, it's interesting that idea of being one people, one mission, to make disciples of Jesus Christ is so, so profound. You know, as the early church and as the church went through the Middle Ages, one of the things that I've really found interesting is we have some wonderful, huge cathedrals that were built where people would go and worship in Europe and around there. And those that you've traveled maybe out there have been able to be in some of those cathedrals. And in those cathedrals, there are wonderful stained glass windows. And you know what the interesting part about it is? There's no name on who constructed the buildings. There's no name of the artists who constructed those stained glass windows. One of the things I love is the pipe organs in those buildings. And there's no name on those huge organs and all those pipes, except there's this one inscription, and it says this in Latin. It says, Soli Deo Gloria. Now, I took Latin in high school. Anybody else take Latin in high school? Okay. Anyone want to take a stab at what that means, Soli Deo Gloria? Pardon? To the glory of God. Yes. All of this that we have is for the glory of God. All of this that we do is for the glory of God. Not ourselves, but for His greater glory. And it is amazing. When we do that, it's amazing what the power of the Holy Spirit can and will do if we have a right heart, a right mind, and a right focus. The Holy Spirit pours Himself out on different levels to different people at different times, but He has that outpouring for every one of us. You know, Paul wrote in the book of Corinthians that everyone who follows Christ is gifted in different ways and to different degrees. But each gift, each person is equal. Each one of us is obedient to the call of God, will be used of God. And some within this very building and some out into the world to many, many different places. It always amazes me when I come into churches and as I've gotten to be here the last year in Ross, the many people who make this church what it is. And you know, it would be easy for me to single people out of who really helps run the church and keep the church. But then I realize that I can't really single people out, because without our oneness as a congregation, it doesn't matter. We can all be doing different things, but unless we are one, it makes no difference, because God calls us to be one, and He tells us that the church will be blessed, and then we will go into the world and share our blessings with other people. You know, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is always amazing to me. We really don't know when and where it's going to happen, but we do know that the Holy Spirit falls afresh on each and every one of us at different times. Talking about annual conference and going to conference, I pray that during that time, that it will be a time when the Holy Spirit will fall afresh on the bishop and the cabinet and our delegates as we talk about things that are going on in the church. I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to fall afresh on us here. But I have to tell you something. There's a limitation sometime to our wisdom and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the things that I think we have to reconcile. Sometimes we, in our humanness, and maybe even in our desire and our wants for the best, We have a vision that maybe is ours. But we need to open ourselves to the vision of God and the Holy Spirit. And when we get to that point where it's solely our vision, things get confusing, things start to fall apart. That tower that we're trying to build in our life that goes up, we get confused. You know, many people ask me, Pastor, how do I know? How do I know something is right? Or how do I know that a situation is of the Holy Spirit? And I love making the analogy. I say, well, you know, if you're sitting back and you're feeling peaceful and you're feeling open and you're feeling led, that's probably the Holy Spirit confirming that inside of you. But like Scripture said today, when there was all that confusion, when God puts that confusion sometimes into our life, it's something for us to really, really look at whatever we're going through and evaluate it and say, is this of the Holy Spirit? And is this of that oneness that God would have us do with one another? You know, our wisdom sometimes is not the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And so I want you to challenge yourself with that. And that's why we need to pray. That's why we need to be together. That's why we need to be in church, so that that oneness that we share, the Holy Spirit will take and work and live in. It's so sad sometimes to me that people say, you know, I don't need to be in church to be a Christian. I don't need to be in church to be obedient to God. I don't need to be in church to show God I love Him. And yet, this is what God has ordained. This is what God has made for us, so that He could pour out His Holy Spirit and so that we can go in the world. And it's so important that we connect with each other every week, that we do this, because our wisdom is not the wisdom of God. And to allow His Holy Spirit to fall afresh on us, we need to make sure our hearts are in the right places. I know I tell this story over and over again, but I got a phone call message on the church phone this week, and it was from a pastor, John Preby, who John is the pastor of Three Crosses United Methodist Church up near Mansfield. The wisdom of our humanness sometimes is not the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. I think I've told you this story before, but I'll say it again because it has all to do with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. My first appointment was to 2-point charge, Butler Trinity United Methodist Church and Perrysville United Methodist Church. And maybe at Butler Trinity, maybe we had 20 in church. And Perrysville, ever hear of Mansfield Plumbing? That was in our backyard of the church. It was surrounded by that little church. Maybe we had 10 people in worship. And I'll never forget, the district superintendent, in his wisdom, said to me, you know, this is going to be your first assignment. You're going to be down going to school and seminary. So got you this easy appointment here. 2 small churches. And he said, and by the way, they're probably going to close. They just can't do it. They just can't. They can't afford it. They're getting support from the conference. And he said, you know, this is just maybe a good place for you to live while you're going to seminary in Ashland and get you through there. He said, but don't be surprised next year if this happens. He says, that's basically what we've got on the books. And I got to tell you, that's a terrible way to begin an appointment. By standing up that first Sunday and looking at everybody and saying, I don't think we're going to be here in a year. But I have to tell you, what happened in that situation was, I found out that in those churches, that there had been a spirit of separation, a spirit where people, good people, but their hearts weren't in the best places. The churches were functioning as, this is what I do, this is what I control, I need to have appreciation for this, and I need to have appreciation for this. And what I found what was lacking was that one unity that was called to on Pentecost. And I know many of you have taken the disciple class with Pastor Kyle and understand the power of that. But what we did was we started our disciple class. And that disciple class met every Sunday evening for 2 hours. And of course, there was food and plenty of it. But I've got to tell you, the Holy Spirit was manifested. People finally changed their attitude from, this is what I need to do as a minimum, to, this is what I feel the Holy Spirit is calling me to do and has gifted me to do. It was 10 people around that table for 26, 30 weeks. The phone call that I got from Pastor John Preeby was, Pastor John, we'd like you to come back. We're dedicating our new sanctuary, $5 million sanctuary, 3 services. We'd like you to come back and speak. We'd like you to come back and play for us. And it just hit me all over again, those words of that district superintendent who said, these churches are going to close. But you see, what happened was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit occurred, and people were receptive to it. And people got out of their comfort zones and said, what is it that God would have me do? And it didn't matter, young or old, people started to reread that passage of Acts of the Apostles and understand that God has a plan for each and every one of us in His kingdom through not only our personal lives, but through His church. And I tell you that story today so that we can check our motives and that we continue to work in the way that God would manifest the same things in us. Because you see, our wisdom, the things, the logic that we come up with sometimes is not the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. The good news is that God has given us a diversity of gifts, and these gifts are here in use in the sanctuary and beyond. Now, I think if we want to, you know, if we can, when we think about people in our minds, about who have impacted us in the life of this church and who do things that are important, and that's, we are so blessed. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate each and every one of you. But the challenge that I also give to each and every one of you is to continue to seek the Holy Spirit's guidance in what your role needs to be. Because we all need to be active. You know, the prophet Joel, we're told that Peter got up and after that the people said, you know, these disciples must be drunk. They're talking in different tongues. And he said, well, it's only 9 in the morning. They can't be drunk. Which I don't understand that, because you could be drunk at 9 in the morning, I guess, if you really wanted to be. But he quotes Prophet Joel. And he says, you know, there's going to come a time when this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and old men will dream dreams, and young men will see visions. And boy, isn't that the truth in the church, that we do have men who dream dreams, and we do have men and women who have visions, who share the faith of worship of God. We do have those gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have those in our fellowship today, those who are gifted with maybe preaching or teaching and hearing and counsel or hospitality or missions. We have what Paul calls the gift of faith. And so in all that we celebrate today on this gift of the Holy Spirit, the hand of God is evident. The hand of God continues to be upon us. Now, I want to challenge you. And my challenge to you is, during this next year, as a congregation, that we continue to pray individually and pray together every time that we meet, that God would show us where He'd like us to be, what He'd like us to be doing. Because being a member of the church is not a passive thing. It's an active thing. And I know that when we allow the Spirit to fall afresh on us, When we allow ourselves to become active, that's when God's Spirit is manifested and multiplied and blessed. You know, it's a blessing today that we have one language, that we can understand each other. It's a blessing today that around the world, there are churches, Christian churches, that are meeting in their own languages, and they can be heard. What an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so today, my friends, I pray that God will continue to bless our merits, that God will continue to guide our human thoughts to be those thoughts that His Holy Spirit sends on us. Let's bow our heads. God, You call us to be active. And yet sometimes it's so easy to sit back and think, well, someone else is gifted with that. God, I pray that as we continue as a congregation, that You will continue to bless us. I'm so thankful for everyone here and what they do and how Your Spirit is manifested in them. But Lord, we know that there's so much more for us to encounter. And God, I thank You and praise You for the many ministries that bless us, that are given to us by You, and for Your greater glory. We ask this in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's now stand.